Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this very special Hell in a Cell review edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, your opinions there as well. Let me start by saying this. Hell in a Cell has always been one of my favorite events for a very simple reason. Hell in a Cell pretty much demands that you use the style of wrestling that I most enjoy, which means the hard-hitting, old-school, blood-and-guts style of wrestling as opposed to the fancy flash and whatever style. So usually Hell in a Cell events are right up my alley. Usually I'm very psyched about them. And to be honest with you, I wasn't too psyched about this year's Hell in a Cell. But I will say this before we get into the individual matches. I don't think there was a bad match, technically. I don't think there was a match where I said this was just absolute powdered crap. However, I have some very, very, very severe critique of some of these matches. And it's not really because of how the performers performed in them. So much as it is the booking and the fact that it never really felt like we cared who won or lost. We discussed that on yesterday's show, how a lot of fans that I spoke to said, it doesn't really matter if Drew wins, if he doesn't win, if Bayley wins, if she doesn't win. It doesn't really matter. But given that it doesn't really matter, and that was what the fans' attitude was, it was the WWE's duty to show you last night it does matter. It does matter because we've got big things coming. With our fans coming back, with the Thunderdome long behind us, we have big things coming. And they didn't do it. They did not do it. Now, for no other reason, and I know I'm going to get heat for this, I don't care. For no other reason than to try to be politically correct, the WWE had actually 4 women's matches and 3 men's matches. Now, I know there's going to be people saying, oh, yeah, but please, spare me. You didn't book the Raw Tag Team Champions. You didn't book Apollo Crews, but you did book Mandy Rose. Please, come on now. Apollo Crews' title is irrelevant at this point. All he does is tag team, and that's about it. There's absolutely no need to not have at least one more championship match on this. Except that, could have had the women's tag team championship if you wanted to bad enough, but you didn't have any contenders, right? Oh, well, that's okay. We'll make up for Triple H's slip of the tongue by making it a predominantly female pay-per-view so people can say, well, it wasn't. We don't really have an actual female pay-per-view, all-female pay-per-view, but look, it's so even. We don't never have an all-male pay-per-view either. So what's the difference? That's what they're up to. Why should there be an all-female pay-per-view when there's never been an all-male pay-per-view? That's what they're going to say. Anyway, let's dig right into this. We open with, obviously, Mandy Rose and in the opening match, or I should say the pre-show match. And I do want to get to the pre-show first because literally JBL, when discussing Alexa Bliss, looked dead into the camera and said, she's been an amazing champion. She's not a champion. You don't even watch the product. You showed up. You have no idea what you're talking about anymore because you don't watch the product. you babble about Alexa Bliss being the champion, and nobody there on that panel had the guts to say to you, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. She's not the champion. Sad. Jerry Lawler, who I normally love, when he was asked, well, what's the match you're most looking forward to, stumbled and bumbled because he didn't know what matches were on the card. And then he just says, the Queen's match. I'm looking forward to seeing the Queen. I don't even know who she's fighting. Unbelievable. Unbelievable lack of caring. Now, I know hardly anybody watches the pre-show, but Jesus. So anyway, we get Mandy Rose against Natty. It's a fine match. It's a good match. There's nothing technically wrong with this match. What is wrong with the match is no one gives one single damn who wins it. No one. Not one person, not one fan. Because there's nothing to give a damn about. And that's not their fault. That's the WWE's fault. So we sit and watch a match and we say, well, technically it's fine. I don't care who wins. Couldn't care less. That's like saying, well, there was a good baseball game on, you know, it was a close game, but neither one of the teams that I care anything about. So, I mean, don't really care. See, that's the problem, WWE. We don't care about these characters. We don't care about them. We can't get emotionally invested in them. If we're not emotionally invested in them, what the hell are we doing? We're like lemmings just tuning it in because, well, I'm a wrestling fan, I'll watch. When in reality, you don't even care. That's a major problem. So, Mike, the match was good. But again, it holds no weight because no one cared who won or lost.
Right. I will bet you that when Mickie James puts together her all-female pay-per-view, she's going to make sure that people care who wins and loses those matches. We may not know the guy, the girl, the ladies on the car, but people will care who wins the match. I mean, we may not think that AEW's women's division is all that good, but you care about Britt Baker. You care about Nyla Rose. I'm going down the list of their women wrestlers, but you care about them, you know? And that's what, even though they're not the quality of wrestlers that WWE has, it's a better women's division because you care about those wrestlers, you know?
Well, if not a better division, at least a better storyline that makes for a more fun match. You see, that's the problem. You have to have the fans care about who wins or loses, or there's really no point of having the match. What's the point of having the match? If you're a promoter, what's the point of having a match that no fans care about just to show how, oh, they're still good. They're really good wrestlers. Okay, but we don't care. We don't care about them. We're not invested in who wins or loses, so why are you giving us the match? When a fan goes to a baseball game, they care about who wins. When a fan goes to a football game or a boxing match or a UFC fight, they care about who wins. We don't care about who wins, and 90% of the WWE's matches. That's a huge problem. And one they could have corrected last night, and they did not. So let's start off with the first Hell in a Cell match, which was Bayley versus Bianca Belair. Very good match. Great match, no. Good match, yes. But nobody ever took Bayley seriously. You're not taking the belt off Bianca Belair, and everybody knows it. So we were waiting for the inevitable, which is how does Bianca Belair conquer Bayley? Because she's going to. There was no surprises. There was no there's going to be a different feud for one of the two of them, or there's a branch on a tree, nothing. It's just, okay, Bayley loses, that's it. On to the next contender. And then we have this weird backstage thing where Bianca Belair says, well, she really kicked my ass in that match, and I'll never forgive her for that. You'll never forgive her for that. What is it that your opponent's supposed to do in a match if not try to win? I'll never forgive her for trying to win. Ouch. You know, come on, folks. Who's writing this stuff? She didn't say that on her own. What? I don't know. Good enough match. Maybe your hair played into it a little bit too much. Are we going to do this forever? Is every match that she's in all going to be about what she can do with her hair or opponent can do with her hair? Because that's getting silly. At some point, it should be about her wrestling skill and not about her hair. So if we can get to that point, let's do it right away. I don't know, Todd. I mean, it was the match itself was fine, but again, we knew who was going to win, and truthfully, even if there was a surprise, it wasn't like anybody particularly cared.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, it was a good match, and the other part was like nobody didn't care. You know, there was no big payoff there, no big payoff, no surprise who's going to show up in that match. It was just. This is another day in the office of that match.
That's the problem. It was a good, solid match, and you can say it was a good defense for Bianca Belair, but it didn't promote her as somebody going forward, what are we going to do next? Now, I didn't expect somebody to run down there and try to get in Hell in a Cell or anything, but I did expect that perhaps we'd get a little glimpse of, oh, I see what's next in the career thing for Bayley, or maybe, okay, there's someone who was backstage talking about, maybe it's Sasha, maybe it's somebody else talking about a title shot. We see where things are going. No, we didn't get anything. We didn't get anything. There's no furthering of any storyline for either one of these two coming out of Hell in a Cell, Mike.
It really isn't. Now, granted, yeah, it was a good match, and there were some pretty good, you know, spots in that match, you know. I mean, so every time Bayley... You know, but they missed a chance because every time Bayley used her hair, you know, as the match went along, I'm sitting there waiting for Belair to do the bullwhip thing with her hair that she sometimes does. Because I mean,
right. You know,
the spot where she tied her hair onto her wrist. Was almost like she was doing a strap match or a bull rope match or something like that. That was cool.
Right.
But I'm still waiting. I'm still sitting here waiting for her to bullwhip her with it, you know? And the finish of the match was a cool finish too, using a ladder in that way with her with the KOD, you know.
The match was perfect, fine. It had some innovative offense. There was nothing wrong with the match. The problem with the match is that it didn't do anything to make us anticipate what's in the future for either one of these two. Whereas you could have used this to tease something. Make them come out of it better than they were. I don't see Bayley coming out of this better than she was, and I don't see Bianca coming out of this better than she was. So that's my problem. We get Seth Rollins and Cesaro. And believe me, most fans figure, look, we like Cesaro, we like Seth Rollins. I've ranted about Seth Rollins and said on many occasions, there was a time in the WWE he carried it on his back, and he did. He absolutely did for about a year. Carried it on his back. And Cesaro is so vastly overrated, underrated, it's sick. It's sick how underrated and underutilized Cesaro was. Having said that, you push Cesaro to the top immediately. I mean, it took 3 weeks to push Cesaro to the top to get a title shot. Lost, and now you're down cycling him already? Already? What good did a Seth Rollins victory do? What good did it do? See, if your ultimate goal, I'm beginning to believe their ultimate goal is not to turn him face. Because if your ultimate goal is to turn him face and Becky Lynch is very close to coming back, this would have been the good thing that Seth Rollins can't win. Seth Rollins can't win. He's just – his career has hit a speed bump. And all of a sudden he recorrects himself and reshifts himself and says, you know, I went a little nuts. I was focusing on all the bad things and the negativity. I wasn't focusing on the good stuff. And now that I'm a family man, I am. No, you let him win. So if you let him win, my presumption is you're going to keep him right on as a heel. And where does a heel go currently in that environment? Where does a heel go? Who's the champions? They're all heels. So where does pushing a heel help you? Explain to me, please, where pushing a heel right now that isn't a champion helps you in any way, shape, or form. I mean, at least you could have pushed a possible Cesaro match with you know, Apollo Crews or something. No. He loses pretty much clean. And I guess you're promoting Seth Rollins to go against who? There's no big plan for Seth Rollins, so this was just a 50-50 booking thing. I let you beat me, now you let me beat you, and this is the way the WWE always does things, and that's why the matches don't matter. Because there's never really a pecking order. So while there's nothing technically wrong with the match, as a matter of fact, it was a very good, very solid match. See, this is the disaster of it all. If the wrestling sucked, then you would say, well, hey, you know, it's, what are you going to do? The whole federation's a joke. The wrestling sucks. The writing sucks. It's a nightmare. But that's not the case. The wrestling is very, very, very good. Your ability to sell these characters, your ability to make people care about them is horrible. So you're wasting great wrestling on horrible booking and horrible storylines. Now, you tell me what would have made more of an impact last night. Cesaro looking downtrodden because he lost, shaking his head, I can't believe it. I can't believe I lost. Or Seth Rollins losing and just having that look in his eyes like, how far have I fallen? I can't win. And leaving with the announcer saying, you know, Seth Rollins has a lot of soul searching to do that you can see in his eyes. Seth Rollins realizes I'm a guy whose career is failing. Then we'd know something big's come to happen with Seth Rollins because he's not going to be a jabron, so something's going to happen. Which one makes more impact? And yet you don't do it because, oh, no, 50-50 booking. Well, 50-50 booking is a huge part of your problem. A huge part. So, Mike, I mean, a great match, but again, terrible ending, illogical to push somebody who's got nothing to do in the future. I don't know what to tell you. Do we have Mike there?
I'm here.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Must be a little bit of a delay here. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you're right. And look, we've been talking about this for God knows how long with Seth Rollins and what's going to happen, what possibly could have happened when Becky Lynch returns. And look, you could even take it one step further with it. I remember there was a point in WCW where Chris Jericho kept losing and losing and losing, and then all of a sudden he snaps and he starts, you know, beating on the ring post with a chair and doing all kinds of stuff. And it stems from the frustration that he just couldn't win. I mean, right. that could have been what you could do. And then after he snaps, that's when he goes away. And Becky, we know Becky Lynch is close, really close to coming back, right? I mean,
yes.
all the things is, you know, she's at the performance center, she's working out. I mean, she absolutely looks like a beast of a woman right now. I mean, in terms of her musculature and stuff like that. I mean, women usually can't drop the baby weight like she did. Now, I'm not saying what she did or what she didn't do, be able to do that. But she's in great shape. She's in good physical condition. All she needs to do now is get in ring shape, which is different from just regular shape, but ring shape, and she can come back. Now, How long is it going to take for her to get in ring shape? I don't know. But that's not the point. The point is you could have had something big here. And maybe you still can if they get off their ass and think about it, you know?
I just think it's too late. You're promoting Seth Rollins as a successful heel, so why would he ever switch? See, the deal would be, I'm not doing well as a heel. I'm not doing well with this attitude. I'm losing matches. I'm losing my credibility. I've lost my focus. I've lost everything. And you're right. You send Seth Rollins packing for a while. You have Seth Rollins say, there's something wrong, and I got to figure it out myself, and I'm gone. And then give Becky Lynch 3 or 4 weeks or a month or however long it's take, a couple of months to get back. And right away, get it involved in something where Seth Rollins is going to have to come back to help her. And you got a whole new Seth Rollins. This is a branch on a tree. This other thing is nothing. I don't know what you're going to do with Cesaro. What does it matter at this point? He's back to mid-card status. Because right now, Seth Rollins is sort of mid-card status, and you're trying to elevate him, and you've knocked Cesaro down. So your big buildup for Cesaro lasted just long enough for him to do one pay-per-view and goodbye. It's mind-boggling. And the feud's probably not over because Seth Rollins said, oh, we're 1-1 now. Jesus, we're going to get another one. You're not really 1-1. You're 1-1 at pay-per-views. You're not 1-1 altogether. So I don't know where this is going. But, Todd, I don't like the direction it's going. I don't see the point of having Seth Rollins really win this match. Well, I'm going to have trouble with the phones again. Looks like we're having some trouble with the phone, so while we're waiting to figure out what's going on, let me just say this. Good match, illogical ending. Good match and totally illogical ending. Makes no sense. We're going to reboot, folks, and we'll be right back. Okay, so we're back, and hopefully the phone lines are working a little bit better, but let's go to the next match, actually, which is Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler. Now, let me tell you why. But let me tell you the good and the bad. Here's the bad. Let's get the bad out of the way right away. The bad is that if Shayna Baszler understands clearly that Alexa Bliss can cause equipment to fall, can cause the doll to appear from nowhere, can cause fire to appear from nowhere, can cause her to go into such a degree of terror that she's screaming out loud and smashing mirrors. She's probably not going to be calm, cool, collected, can't wait to get my hands on her. She's probably going to be, this might be a mistake. I don't know if I want to go out there and fight her. Did you see what happened? Did you see what she did? That's not normal. Instead, she's just, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's good. I'll go out there and kick her butt. Okay, well, I don't know. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Being told we're going to try to reboot one more time. Alrighty, folks, I guess we're back. I don't know what the problems are here with Blog Talk Radio today. Obviously, there's something going on. Hopefully, everybody can hear me. Hopefully, everything's good. I would suggest that the callers redial because we're not able to take your calls right now. So redial, and we probably will be able to. I give up. Okay, well, I guess we're not doing the show. Okay. Got it. Okay, forget it.